May the Lord help us to commence this service with hymn number 878. 878. Say, Christian, wouldst thou thrive in knowledge of thy Lord? Against no scripture ever strive, but tremble at his word. Hymn number 878.
From the Holy Word of God. Let us read this evening some verses in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We'll read first of all from verse 49 to 64. Psalm 119, verses 49 to 64. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favour with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Now we'll read from verse 81 to 96. Verse 81 to 96. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. May the Lord grant his blessing upon those portions there of this sacred psalm. May he now help us to pray. O thou most holy, almighty, eternal God, we gather together here, Lord, this night, in the name of thine only begotten Son, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. May the truth of his sacred words be imparted to us. Oh, that where we are gathered together in his name, there thou art in thee, there he is in the midst of them. O Lord, so come and grant the influence of thy Holy Spirit to reveal Christ in us, the hope of glory. For Lord, we each need that hope, not a vain hope of our own making, but a hope imparted by the Holy Spirit, that is a holy expectation through what Christ has done to put away the judgment on account of sin, that we may be found acceptable before thee. We confess our many sins. Lord, day by day, hour by hour, we fail and are guilty and transgress thy holy law. So multitudinous is our sins, great is our iniquities. But Lord, we gather together tonight around thy holy word of truth, which testifies of Jesus. O Lord, make his name precious to us. Lord, make that sacrifice for sin the most thing most valued within us, and help us to live our lives, Lord, under the influence of that redeeming love, that we may seek to speak, to do all things in love and in the honour and glory to his great and holy name. So, Lord, help us this night, for without thee we can do nothing. Lord, we come with specific purpose of remembering the publication and distribution of thy holy word. We pray for the Trinitarian Bible Society. Lord, that which has published now thy word for many, many years, thou hast maintained them and helped them and provided their needs. And we pray, Lord, thou wilt continue to own and bless the work that they do. May thy word that is sent forth throughout the world, Lord, find an abiding place in many hearts. Lord, those of far off lands who perhaps as yet have not heard thy word or had possession of it in their own tongue, Lord, do raise up those who can do the translation. Oh, Lord, how difficult a matter that is. Lord, the world is of many, many languages because thou didst cause it to come after the flood, when mankind sought glory to himself and not to thee. But, Lord, we do pray for the power of thy Spirit. Thou wilt help many, Lord, to be able to translate thy word into those local tongues, and the power of the Spirit to bless it to all that read it and to whom it is preached. O Lord, thou knowest those that are thine in this sin-cursed earth. May there yet be a multitude of sinners saved by thy grace, where the gospel is not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Lord, help us to pray for the continuance of thy word in our own land also, for we have need of it. O Lord, where it has been upheld and proclaimed and used in the government of our nation, Lord, we mourn its demise. And Lord, it is brought now as if it is of no value at all. It is out of date and no relevance to modern day life. O Lord, we mourn over these things. We pray, Lord, thou wilt give wisdom to our leaders, to our parliament. Lord, that thou wilt cause them to realise that wisdom lies in the fear of the Lord, and in all the difficult matters that they have to handle, Lord, internally and internationally. Lord, there is help from thee, guidance, direction, as they would call upon thee in prayer. Lord, thou canst perform these things, for nothing is too hard for thee. Lord, they have their manifesto. They are determined to do that which they have already said. But Lord, thou canst rule and overrule because thou doth reign. And we pray thou wilt hear the prayers of thy people. Oh, that we are maintained in our freedom of worship and the practice of the Christian faith. Lord, and that thou wilt send out many to preach the gospel. Thou cause many, Lord, to seek to possess the Holy Scriptures. Thou will give them hearts and desires to read and to pray for the interpretation of them and bring them to know the way of salvation, the salvation of their souls through the truth as it is in Jesus. That in this evil day there'll be yet many sinners saved by thy grace that cry out, give me Christ, or else I die. O Lord, do bless the gatherings together in thy name. May thy word go forth, have free course, and be glorified. O Lord, do not let us just settle on our lees and be content just with an outward form, an outward profession only. Lord, we commend ourselves to thee. Oh, how we need that word of thine, Lord, to deeply affect our hearts and minds, that we may grow in thy grace and the knowledge of thee, our Lord, our Saviour and our God. Bless the ministry of the gospel here. Lord, may each one that is engaged to preach the gospel here come with that word from thee upon their spirit. Lord, that if the question is asked, is there any word from the Lord, it may often be said, yes, he was mindful of me there, a word in season, a word to strengthen, to help, to confirm, to quicken. O Lord, how we need thee to work that work of grace more and more within our hearts, upon our souls. Remember the children and the young people. Bless thy word to them. Lord, help the work of the Sunday school and those that teach the children. Lord, be gracious unto them, and that which is taught from thy holy word, may it abide in the minds of the young children and the young people. And Lord, bring it to remembrance for the good of their souls at the times appointed. Lord, may they grow to be true followers of Thee. Lord, not drawn aside into the wicked evils of this world, but given the strength to say, so did not I, when tempted to go into the ways of sin and ungodliness. O Lord, we do pray Thou would hear the prayers of parents bringing up their children. Lord, what difficulties they face in many rules and regulations and promotions of ungodliness that come in the way of their children and of their own selves. Lord, hear their prayers. Answer them. Help them to remain steadfast in the way of truth. And Lord, may they know Thy good hand of mercy upon them and make ways where there is no way, or seemingly no way, to continue in the faith. Lord, abide in each home. Lord, wherever those homes are. Lord, some live alone. Lord, we commend them to Thee. With widows and widowers. And Lord, those who have lost loved ones. Oh Lord, today is that funeral service of that young man taken so suddenly from time to eternity in that tragic incident. Oh Lord, we know not what may be before any of us in another day. But Lord, do remember the family. Lord, all those that mourn the loss of a dear one and a friend, a relation. Lord, may there be some comfort granted to them. Lord, may there have been something upon which there was some evidence of Thine working in that young man's soul. And so, Lord, soften the grief and the sorrow, which surely is great. But Lord, oh, do have mercy and help the one conducting the service today. We pray Thou hast helped him. And Lord, now to meditate and think upon these things, for they teach us a lesson. How stands the case, my soul, with Thee? For heaven are Thy credentials clear. Lord, even use these solemn things, the quickening and blessing of many souls. Lord, we pray for our friend David in the hospital, in his sad condition. Oh Lord, his times are in Thy hand, as all our times are in Thy hand. Lord, we thank Thee where, although quietly spoken, he can look to the truth as it is in Jesus. Oh Lord, do bless his soul. Lord, may he be weak in body as he is in mind, but Lord, be the strength of his soul, that he may know within his own self that it is well, that Thou art his God, his Lord and his Saviour, that Christ hath gone before to prepare a place for him. Oh Lord, we do pray in these things that Thou wilt own and bless and use solemn words, solemn circumstances to the quickening and concerns of many souls regarding eternity. We do pray, Lord, for Thy church and people here. Remember the deacons. Lord, remember them in all their prayerful concerns for one and another that attend, that there may be Thy quickening power upon many souls. Lord, do grant increases, Lord, to the church and its membership. Lord, do make willing in the day of Thy power, overcoming all hindrances. Lord, increasing congregation from the village round about and the area round about. For are there not many this night dead in trespasses and in sins? Their only joy and hope and comfort are in the things that are temporal and shall not remain. And they do not consider, Lord, the solemnity of an eternity before them. O Lord, pour out thy Spirit and cause those dead souls to be quickened, seeking souls, and approve and apply, Lord, thy promise that they that seek shall find. To them that knock it shall be opened. Lord, to them that ask they shall receive. O Lord, build up the church here with godly, gracious, Spirit-taught increases, all to the honour and glory of thy name. Be with others, Lord, who've lost loved ones. Lord, those of family here. Lord, unexpectedly, Lord, things take place. Solemnly they do. Lord, help each one that has lost a loved one. And we pray, Lord, thou wilt be that God of all comfort, appearing, Lord, in thy power to the blessing and warmth of thy love, and uphold and strengthen for all that has to be attended to in the things of the final funeral and burial of loved ones. Lord, these are solemn days. Solemn things take place. And yet we thank thee for many mercies. Mercies which daily we receive. Our food, our drink, our clothing, our homes. Lord, our peace and safety. Lord, our loved ones. Lord, we have much to thank thee for thou hast not dealt with us after our sins. Thou hast not rewarded us according to our iniquities. So, Lord, we come now before thee tonight. Oh, do open up thy word to us. Lord, do open these lips. May the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength. O my strength and my Redeemer, as we pray, Lord, that the meditation of each of our hearts may be found acceptable now before thee. Lord, those opened hearts like Lydia's heart, to hear thy voice, a voice of love, a voice of mercy, through Calvary. Lord, pardon our sins, all that we ask amiss. We ask in the name of Jesus and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 14, 1-4. Begin my tongue some heavenly theme, and speak some boundless thing. The mighty works, almightier name, of our eternal King. Hymn number 14.
dear friends, as this meeting is also with the prayerful thoughts of the work of the Trinitarian Bible Society, I thought I would just say a few things regarding work which is going on there at this current time, or what has been achieved over the past year. The Trinitarian Bible Society has reported that 3.3 million items of their publications, that's Bibles and Gospels and other items, have been distributed to over 100 countries in the past year. And 50% of those have been free of charge. There's a great hunger for the word of God in remote countries, but there's also great poverty. And so it is the work of the TBS to try and give freely the word of God to these poor nations and the poor people. And the testimony is of great rejoicing amongst those people when they receive Bibles, New Testaments, Gospels, and other items based on Scripture. In this country at the moment, there are quite a high number of Ukrainian refugees. And there's been a great increase in demand for scriptures in Ukrainian language and Russian language. And I think we must realise that refugees, these refugees, they're living in a strange land. And there's a desire to turn to the word of God and to the Lord. Who can tell for what purpose these solemn things arise in the earth, in wars and violence? May it be that through the distribution of the word of God, the Gospels of John, where 80,000 such Gospels have been given to them, and Words of Life, calendars and children's books, and now New Testaments are about to be published, given to these refugees for the benefit and good of their souls. In our own country, as you perhaps know, that there's a ban by many train station authorities to display scripture on station platforms, as has been the tendency for many years. The railway authorities claim that such text, display of text from Scripture, is religious advertising. Even though the Trinitarian Bible Society have taken this up with the authorities, saying all we're doing is just quoting Scripture, words from the Bible, they still say it is religious advertising and not permitted. The Trinitarian Bible Society have thought to take this up legally, but consider that the high cost of such a procedure would not be the right use of the resources which are given for the distribution of the Word of God. So attention, although there are some apparently in other parts of the country where the railway authorities will still permit it, but not like it used to be. And the Trinitarian Bible Society have turned to locations like bus shelters. And you've probably seen how they ask people to support that work and making donations for public display of scripture in bus shelters throughout the year. The local auxiliary for West Anglia have also displayed scripture on buses themselves, on the rear of buses, but it's getting difficult. And there's not many bus companies that seem to be willing to display scripture. But we can do so on the outside of our public church buildings. And it's good where scripture is displayed. Outside church buildings for the public to read. There's been many instances recorded and can be quoted by the Trinitarian Bible Society themselves of where such displays of scriptures have been used for the quickening of dead souls, for the strengthening of those who already believe, words in season. So we pray that the Lord will continue to bless the public display of scriptures. At present, in the work going on in the headquarters, there are 110 projects under review regarding translations. There's a great need for translators. If we think of the many hundreds of languages, even in India and Africa, it needs those who can understand the basic Hebrew and Greek testaments to be able to translate accurately into local languages. There's a need for much prayer that the Lord will raise up such translators. It's amazing, and thanks to God, that 110 projects can continue at this stage. But it takes a long time. In recent years, very recently, the Nepal Bible has been printed. It's now distributed and in circulation in Nepal. But it took 27 years to produce it from the Hebrew and Greek. The translators were part-time. They had other businesses. They had other earthly activities to attend to. So it can take a long time for translation and checking and rechecking and so forth before these publications come into reality. What prayer there's needed that the Lord will still own and bless this work and those who are involved in it. Currently there's a lot of work going on for a translation in the language Swahili. Apparently there's about 200 million people who speak Swahili, but there are different dialects of it. The Gospel of John is nearly complete for publication. There's been 10 translators involved in this work. And also the complete scriptures are also to be undertaken. We need to pray, don't we, to the Lord that his good hand will be upon all the work of the society and that the necessary resources will be granted to them. So we commit them to the Lord and pray that he will maintain the publication of his word in this evil day and grant the blessing of the Spirit to those that receive it and read it. As we turn to the Word of God, I would ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to the Psalm 119 and verse 89. Psalm 119 and verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119 is an amazing psalm, isn't it? How the psalmist extols the word of God to the glory of God. It fills his heart and his desire that he may be filled with the word of God, to practice it and to keep to it in all his ways. Each verse contains some aspect of the word of God, whether it is the word law or the word precept or statutes, testimonies, commandments, judgments. Dear friends, all these are embraced, aren't they, under the term the word of God. When we read of the word, the law, yes, it includes the commandments, the Ten Commandments. But the law is really the Torah, the five first books of the Bible. And in those first five books of the Bible, oh, how much we read there of the grace of God, the mercy of God. He will be gracious to whom he will be gracious. He will be merciful unto whom he will be merciful. He will grant the seed of the woman to destroy Satan's power. God shall provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice, and so we may go on. How Christ is testified throughout the whole of the scriptures as what we call the word of God, in the written word. Of course, when we consider the word, it will never fail. It will never alter. It will ever be applicable. In Isaiah we read that the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall abide forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Peter in the epistles, he speaks of the everlasting word of God. The word is from everlasting to everlasting. And dear friends, it's the word of truth. There is no other such word as the word of God that is 100% truth. Therefore, how we need to take heed to it. We didn't read the portion where it says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. Jesus said to the Jews concerning the scriptures, in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Or when we read the Holy Scriptures, yes, we should tremble at the word, as we sang in our opening hymn. Tremble at the solemn judgments of God, where the word of God means nothing to us. Tremble at the word of God, oh, that we are made conscious of the truth it contains, the solemn judgment. And that we as guilty sinners are worthy of all the wrath of God and a solemn eternity. How we need, don't we, that power, thy word hath quickened me. Thy word hath quickened me. We read that in that first portion we read tonight. Oh, dear friends, what a blessing that is. The word in power. in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. When we consider the Word, in fact, we consider where we are tonight. It was through the Word that the world was made. It was through the Word that the earth and all things of which we are involved in came to pass. We think of the inventions of man and technology today, but all the things which has formed this technology, which through the inventions and wisdom that has been given to man, it was all there in the beginning of creation. All the elements of it were there. And by the word of God, we read the earth is maintained. The earth is kept in store. Until the day when God will give the word and it will be destroyed. And so when we consider our being here tonight, we do not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. Our times are in his hand. And dear friends, how many of us can testify, oh, the power of his word that hath been made manifest to us in our days, in our lives, in our circumstances. How precious is the word. The text says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The word was made flesh. The word dwelt in heaven. But the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. The Holy Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, was sent into this world, made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death. Dear friends, before Christ came into this world, you could say he was settled in heaven. With the glory he had with the Father before the world began. But there was a people to be born upon this earth. In the mysterious sovereign will of God that all takes place as he commands. A people who were to be given unto his Son. For the saving of their souls. Our sinners, born in sin like we all are, shapen in iniquity like we all have been, dead in trespasses and in sins as we all are by nature. And if we remain like that in which we are born, oh, how solemn will be the day of judgment. But there's a people whom he will form for his praise. Not praise because of all the earthly good and benefits and affluence and material things we receive for our earthly comfort. Oh, we have to be thankful for everything we receive, don't we? Yes. But the praise of those who were given unto Christ is not for the providential mercies. Is for the mercy of their souls. Jesus said he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Dear friends, do you know what it is really and truly to be a sinner? A sinner before a holy God. We may say we've done wrong. We may well say we are not perfect by any means. We may say, yes, we've got selfish streaks. We may well say, oh, the strength of mine own will and the lusts of my flesh. And we may have some aspect of concern about them. But have we ever been brought to know what it is truly to be a sinner before a holy God? Dear friends, that's a solemn place to come. But it's a most blessed place to come. Because we don't come there by our own intellect. We don't come there by the desire of our own hearts. We come there through the gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, which God gives unto those whom he shall have redeemed through the merits of his Son. We read, don't we, in Romans of the foreknowledge of God. Those who are foreknown, given unto his Son, now predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. It may be earlier in their days, it may be late in their days. But dear friends, not one of them shall be lost. Predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, and those whom he predestinates, those he calls. There's the influence of the Spirit. There's the work of the Godhead. God the Father, chosen, elect, that electing love, to be given unto his Son, to pay the price for their sins by giving himself as a sacrifice. And that truth in Jesus revealed by the Holy Spirit. Dear friends, this is the only blessing. This is the only, shall I say, knowledge within us that can give us a hope of heaven above. Or do we know what it is to be a sinner? Taught by the Spirit that we are great sinners, have not no righteousness of our own. Yes, we may do many things that are right in accordance with the word of God, in kindness and mercy, outwardly one to another. And I hope that we do. But dear friends, what we do ourselves outwardly will never be acceptable before God as a true righteousness. Because our hearts, which work all things within us, how we think and how we speak and how we act, is a sinful heart. It's a heart, as the scripture says, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And it cannot bring forth pure water. As an unclean fountain cannot bring forth pure water, we cannot bring forth pureness of act, of thought, word and deed. We're all as an unclean thing. Oh, dear friends, how solemn that is. And when we're taught by the Holy Spirit, we realize we can do nothing. Nothing for the salvation of our souls. Nothing to save us from the wrath of God for sin which is to come. The psalmist came to know his sins. He said in verse 81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation. My soul fainteth for thy salvation. Dear friends, it was the object of his first desire. The salvation of his soul. Now can you say that tonight? You've come to a time in your life when the object of your first desire is your soul's salvation. Or as the hymn writer puts it, object of my first desire, Jesus, crucified for me. Oh, what has he done? Dear friends, he's taken upon himself the guilt of all those who are brought to know their great sins, and to cry unto him with their soul's desire first and foremost before all other things, that they may know the power of his redeeming love, the power of that shed blood that pays the price for their sin, to blot out all their guilt from under the holy law of God, that they are cleansed from all iniquity and all taint of sin. Oh, they desire to know that pardon and that peace with God. Oh, they tremble at his word because of what they are and what they deserve. And my soul, says the psalmist, fainteth for thy salvation. Dear friends, that's a prayer and that's a spirit indicted by the Lord. I hope in thy word. For where the Spirit begins a work of grace, and there's a knowledge, dear friends, of your great sin before a holy God, it's all darkness within. There's the power, the burden of sin upon you. Dear friends, it'll cause you to cry for mercy, won't it? And if it causes you to cry for mercy, dear friends, there's been the gift of that measure of faith. Faith that causes you to hope. Hope in the Word of God, in Christ Jesus. You hardly dare hope it is for yourself. But you cry. Is any of you like that tonight? You're crying unto him, hoping in his word. The psalmist says, mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? When wilt thou comfort me? The knowledge of one's pardon sealed and peace with God, the blessing of the soul. Oh, dear friends, it's an amazing work. You lose all your fears when the Lord appears. In that moment, the banner over you is love. And that burden that is heavy upon your soul seems to have gone, it's lifted. And you begin to rejoice in Christ, your Saviour. Oh, this is a real work today by the Lord. It's not imagination, it's not theory. The word in power, in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Dear friends, that word comes because it's Christ that died and risen again. We don't worship a dead Saviour, do we? A dead Jesus. He has conquered the power of sin. He's conquered the power of the grave. He has risen again, leaving all that deadness of the power of sin behind. Because I live, he says, ye shall live also. I am come that ye might have life and have it more abundantly. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, and there's joy and rejoicing, dear friends, in the knowledge of this blessing to the saving of your soul. Your hope is now revealed. Your hope is now real. It's an expectation. And you give all the glory to God. And all that of your heart, now it loves him who has first loved you. You can now testify and speak of that love. But you may be in the case here of this psalmist. When wilt thou comfort me? He's waiting upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord, we're told, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Dear friends, they shall run and not be weary. He shall come, because it's his work. He has begun it. And what is the answer of the Lord? Comfort ye my people. Oh, when wilt thou comfort me? You're looking, you're watching, you're waiting. It's the object of your first desire. It's the content of your prayer. Comfort ye my people. Dear friends, he knows when to give that word. He knows the time, he knows the season, he knows the circumstances. Or to speak the word, your warfare is accomplished. Oh, you've been fighting, haven't you? Trying to struggle against your sin and you're not succeeding. Satan's still ruling your heart and mind. You get carried away, but your desire is to be one with the Lord. The word in power, thy word, O Lord, that comes with comfort. Your warfare is accomplished. Your iniquity is pardoned. Ye have received of the Lord's hand double for all your sins. That word double also can be translated duplicate. A duplicate for all your sins. So I love that word. Christ made sin in your room, place and stead. Christ made as you are a sinner. Your sins imputed to him, carrying all that iniquity, all those transgressions, and has suffered for them in the shedding of his blood. But through the shedding of blood, there is remission of sins, that innocent blood. Oh, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. All this of the world within us and our sinfulness, blotted out as a thick cloud. Oh, as Jesus says through Isaiah, thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. And dear friends, we then look upon him, don't we, whom we have pierced, with our sins upon his soul, within his soul. Yes, we mourn over our sins and after Christ. But we rejoice in Christ our Saviour, for the fountain opened for sin and uncleanness. Oh, those disciples, dear friends, and Mary Magdalene and the women, when they saw a risen Saviour, all their fears had gone. Oh, it was newness of life, wasn't it? Old things had passed away. All their sorrow was turned into joy. And Christ ascended into heaven, having fulfilled the work of his Father. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It is finished. Love's redeeming work is done. Christ, who came from the heights of glory, descended here, upon this sin-cursed earth, to be made like unto his brethren, sinners, that they may be made like him in the righteousness of God. All their salvation is now with Christ settled in heaven. Your life is hid with Christ in God, and nothing can remove it. Oh, dear friends, what a truth, what a blessed truth that is. But having begun that work, dear friends, has changed your heart, renewed your will, turned your feet to Zion's hill. You know, Satan is a mighty foe, isn't he? Some of you, I'm sure, many of you here can testify of it. Although you've known the saving grace of the Lord, you've testified of it. And the church members here have testified of it. I trust others have testified of it. Oh, then do witness of it. But Satan gets at you. Satan is a mighty foe. And he will do his utmost to pull you down, won't he? From that sweet assurance from that hope and that expectation of Christ in you, the hope of glory. How he uses the circumstances of our lives. Yes, we shall have tribulations. We shall have sorrows. We shall have troubles. We shall have those things which will bring us perhaps into pain and affliction and injuries and the loss of loved ones, and we wonder how we're going to carry on. And Satan is a mighty foe. He will enter, he will stir up our hearts, stir up unbelief. If you were a child of God, these things wouldn't be permitted to come upon you. No, this is the result of all your iniquity. It is only part of what you shall suffer when you die. You're going to be a castaway. Paul the apostle feared that, didn't he? He feared lest he should be a castaway. But he said Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Different when we're greatly tried and tempted by Satan. And he works within us, and in those times we sin, don't we? Yes, sin of unbelief. We try to go our own way. We take matters in our own hands. We try to say, this is the right way, but we haven't committed it to him as we should. We don't wait for those true directions and his blessing upon all things. No, we want to escape those difficulties and troubles. And we'll do our utmost to put our hands to it. And we're not in prayer as we should. But dear friends, how do we pray? Do we pray, Lord, take away this trouble, take away this sickness, take away this injury, take away this great fear, so that we can live in peace and safety and comfort in our earthly lives? That's our earthly nature, isn't it? What did the psalmist say in 119 verse 49? Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. He looks back. He looks back to his beginning. Yes. Not only can he remember all the way the Lord has led him unto this day, but in this time of trouble he looks back to his beginning. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Give me a renewed blessing. Give me a sweet assurance, Lord, that thou art mine and I am thine still. Overcome these temptations that I fear thou hast left me. And Satan who tempts me and annoys me. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word hath quickened me. He wants a renewing, doesn't he? He wants what David prayed and said, what happens. He restoreth my soul. And leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The blessing of the soul, the renewing of his word in the power of the Holy Ghost, a confirmation that that word, through Christ, what he's done for your soul is settled in heaven. Nothing can disturb it. It's sure and steadfast. Dear friends, that hope is the anchor of your soul, isn't it? But how we have to come to plead it, don't we? Again and again and again. Lord, remember me. Yes, a sinner, weak and vile, full of impiety, says hymn 214, isn't it? Often perhaps we look at that hymn. Lord, remember me. Look at the one who prayed it at the cross, on the cross, suffering as he was in all the agony of those nails, and perhaps all his bones were out of joint at the jarring of the cross when it was set up. The worst of the agonizing of punishments. And dear friends, it was reserved for the most terrible of criminals, the worst offenders. That's why Christ suffered on the cross. Those Jews said, he made himself the Son of God. He was worthy of the worst of the punishments of death that they could have inflicted upon him. But how willing was Jesus to die, that we guilty sinners might live? And there was a guilty sinner alongside Jesus on that cross. Dear friends, what wisdom he was given, what insight he was given, what blessing of the Spirit he was given in all his vile sinfulness. Oh, we indeed justly, we deserve that which for our crimes. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He received the answer, didn't he? Oh, dear friends, where one cries out when led by the Spirit, confessing one's sins, looking unto Jesus. Oh, what mercy there is in the cross of Christ. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He hadn't got many more hours to live, had he? He was in great agony. But, dear friends, when he received that word of the Lord, I'm sure he could bear all his physical afflictions there. Oh, what would they mean to him? He was going to be with Christ in a few hours' time, in glory. You know, dear friends, when the Lord speaks words of his pardon and his peace, and we have a view again of those sufferings of Christ for the salvation of our soul, it strengthens us to endure those things which come against us. Those physical aspects of our lives, those fears, those sorrows, those griefs, and all that comes in us. Dear friends, the Lord can sanctify them to the good of our soul and work all these things together for good. Well, mine goes to Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah, he was a faithful servant of God, wasn't he? How he prophesied for all those number of years. And oh, the hand of his fellow men about him, when they sought to take his life, he said, O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me. Revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. There is his position. There was his physical, practical torment that threatened of his life. He goes on the next verse. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Oh, what a testimony. That was the word he'd had, wasn't it? When he was called to be a prophet. Oh, the word upon which he caused to hope. Yes, they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. He was the Lord, sanctified in the womb and... And nothing could separate him from the love of God, even though he suffered great trials and afflictions. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Oh, dear friends, do you know what that is? To feed again upon the word of God. That word which is settled in heaven. It's the bread of heaven, isn't it? It's the truth as it is in Jesus, of which it comes. And you partake of by faith. And it's for the strengthening and life of your soul in the midst of tribulations. Jesus said, be of good cheer, be of good comfort, in other words. I have overcome the world. I have done all things. Nothing will separate you from my love. But you say, oh, I've prayed the Lord will remember me. I've prayed that this great trial will be taken away from me. He's forgotten me. He's turned away his back upon me. Well, dear friends, remember Isaiah, the Lord speaking through him. Zion, as it's called, the church, his people. Zion complained that the Lord had forsaken them, even though it was his precious promises toward them. The answer was given. Can a woman forget her sucking child? Oh yea, they may forget, but I will not forget thee. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, and thy walls are ever before me. Lord, the Lord will never leave nor forsake you. Why, graven on the palms of his hands, oh, those hands nailed to the cross, that blood that was spilt, the wounds of Jesus for your sins. Dear friends, that's how he knows you. His sins have been laid upon him. And he's borne them away, and you will ever be there. Oh, with you upon his breast, within his heart, and your names as he presents you faultless before the Father's face. And those walls are ever before you, your own self. You're ever under the eye of God. You're ever under the eye of the merciful Christ. And he will teach you and lead you in the way thou shalt go. He will guide you with his eye, like he did Israel in the wilderness journey, that ye may know what is in thine heart. And they will prove thee to come to know that we do not live by bread only, not by just the earthly things and mercies, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall we live. And dear friends, by the word that proceeds out of the mouth of Jesus, oh, that is settled in heaven, we shall live eternally. Oh, what a hope. Thy word, O Lord, is settled in heaven. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also, settled in heaven, with the word of God, with Christ Jesus, through the power of his word, which has delivered you from the pit of corruption. Dear friends, these are the sinners saved by grace. What a sacred truth this is. It'll never pass away. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And when that word has come into you, dear soul, in the power of the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, if and whatever takes place here upon this earth, your salvation is sure. It is settled in heaven through Christ, the glorious Redeemer. Oh, we read of those, don't we? Of who John was shown. Is it Revelation chapter 7? Dear friends, when we read those that were had come through great tribulation, they'd washed their robes, they'd made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They trusted in his word. They'd looking unto Jesus, the author, finisher of their faith. They were taken from time into eternity at the Lord's appointed time. And there they shall hunger no more. They shall thirst no more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Dear friends, this is the truth which is settled in heaven. Oh, to be a partaker now, in measure, of that hope, that good hope through grace, of Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners, that we can say, the Lord is mine, and I am his, and he is mine forever. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Tim Parrish will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Adrian Pickett on Friday evening next week. And there will be a prayer meeting for the nation on Saturday afternoon next week. The collections this evening, the collection is for the TBS. Let us sing hymn 264. 264. Far from my thoughts, vain world begone, let my religious hours alone. Fain would my eyes my Saviour see, I wait a visit, Lord, from Thee. Hymn 264.
Thank you.
to bless thine own word. Be with us as we separate. Be with any who have listened in to the service tonight. O Lord, may each of us know that love divine, all love excelling, which flows down through Jesus Christ, a love which cannot depart from us, because it is settled in heaven through the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to watch and wait for his appearing, when he shall come and shall declare the end of the world. May we be taken up to be with him, abide with him forevermore, our souls settled with Christ in glory. Until then, Lord, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us, yea, even forevermore. Amen.